Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ivory White, A House of Misfits Standalone by Cambria Hebert. Narrated by Eric Michael Summerer and Stephanie Dillard. Prologue. Huntsman. I want it done. Quietly. Quickly. Now. The voice on the line was smooth and calculating. Malice saturated every calm syllable. These were the most dangerous people, the ones who ordered murder like they did takeout. Greed was an affliction, and it seemed people who already had too much were cursed with it. It was never enough. Some people always wanted more. That's why they came to me. I got my hands dirty so they didn't have to. Blood washed off just as easily as anything else.
Do you hear me?
The voice spoke again, the whip-like tongue lashing out because I took too long to reply. From across the street, I watched my target, the one whose death was being ordered like a pizza. I made a sound into the line.
I'll be waiting.
The line clicked off, and I continued to hold the phone to my ear even though no one was there. I stared a bit longer before finally lowering the cell. This was a simple job, easy money. Yet, for the first time in my entire career, I hesitated.
1. Ivory. I began every morning here in the forest that grew within the city. Trees twisted and tangled up toward the sky. The avocado-colored grass and large rock formations were a perfect contrast to the high-rise buildings crowding the space just across the street. My feet were light on the path, barely making a sound as I jogged my way along the familiar route. There were other people out jogging and enjoying the quiet before the city awoke entirely. I ignored them. I was here for me and me alone. This was my time, the only time I truly ever got for myself. As soon as I slid back into the black car waiting for me on the other side of the park, my day would be gobbled up by everything and everyone. Nearby, a squirrel ran across the path and leaped onto the side of a wide tree. Wind that could almost be considered cold kicked up, blowing the designer jacket I wore against my frame. Suddenly, the sun, which had only just risen, was swallowed by a large, dark cloud, shrouding the park in shadows. Gazing up, I noted the moon still hovering. Only half of it was visible. It seemed ominous, as if the reason the sun suddenly disappeared was that the moon didn't want to give up the sky. A cold feeling crawled up my spine, despite the warmth of my body from exercise. With the sun hidden and the moon staring, my sacred alone time suddenly felt more like the beginning of some creepy movie. Up ahead, the tunnel under the bridge I always jogged through seemed menacing. A small light flickered on within and glowed orange, making the space seem haunted. Wow. My imagination was severely out to play this morning. Perhaps this was a sign that I would have a good day at work. Hopefully, the creativity kept flowing. Hopefully, it would be less chilling. I almost veered around the jack-o'-lantern-like tunnel this morning, but stopped myself. Why should I deviate from what I liked to do? I had run here daily for years. Nothing bad was going to happen. No one would dare. Oomph. A heavy, violent hand slammed down on my back, making me trip and stumble mid-stride. Panic clawed at my throat, and a shrill sound escaped me, causing even more pain in my neck. Trying to right myself, I failed because I was lifted off my feet completely, my body hefted into someone solid and much larger. I started to kick and scream, and at that very moment, a sweaty palm slapped over the lower half of my face, and the kicks I launched were successfully evaded. The hammering of my heart was so fierce that pain pierced my chest, threatening to split my rib cage in two. Above the hand, my nostrils flared, and I tried to scream, even though it was muffled. My body hit the concrete wall like a rag doll, my cheek bouncing off the rough, cold side before my body rebounded like it hit rubber and not something unforgiving. The body shoved in, slamming me back against the wall, pinning me there ruthlessly so I couldn't move or run away. My lips parted, and a scream unlike anything ever released before formed inside me. The flash of a silver blade caused pain, not because it cut through my delicate flesh, but because it effectively stopped the forceful yell in my throat. "I don't have any money," I croaked, my normally cool, even voice unrecognizable. "But if you let me go, I'll get it and give it all to you." He shoved me even harder into the wall, and the same sore spot on my cheek that hit earlier scraped again.
"I'm not here for your money,"
a low, foreign voice intoned. I tried and failed to crane my head around. Where the hell is my bodyguard? He always ran a little ways behind me so I didn't feel crowded, but he should have been here by now. He should have been doing something about this. What do you want?" I wheezed.
"Your life."
I caught a barely there glimpse of myself in the shining blade the man brandished. My skin, which was usually white as snow, was now translucent. A blue vein ran down my forehead and across my cheek, like some sick scar. My lips were also colorless, my eyes wide with fright. Like a living corpse. Like this man had indeed already started sucking the life out of me. "No," I begged, the plea falling from my lips without thought. I'd never begged for anything in my entire life, but I would now. The flickering orange faded out, and darkness converged. The only light was from the ends of the tunnel, and it was dim at best. "Please," I whimpered, somehow managing to get my arm free from between myself and the wall. When my icy fingers closed around the thick, warm wrist that wielded the knife, I was shocked. He didn't even seem threatened by me. In fact, the beating of his heart was even against my back. His breathing wasn't heavy. He was utterly calm. So in control that me grabbing the hand holding his murder weapon didn't even shake him. The power in his body, in his wrist alone, outweighed mine tenfold. My fingers shook and fought for the strength he already had. I was going to die. Here, just blocks from my impressive apartment, in the middle of a peaceful forest that had suddenly turned menacing. I had only one thought, one single thought as the knife lifted, promising pain. My life was filled with so much, but in death, only one thing remained. "Daddy," I whispered. The sound of the blade cutting through the air, so sharp it practically whistled, made me cower against the cold wall, anticipating pain. Violently, my head was forced back, my scalp screaming as my eyes watered, blinking up at the darkness overhead. Swipe. It was a sound, not a feeling, and suddenly my head was released, making me stumble sideways.
"Get out of here. Run away and don't come back."
I started to turn toward my attacker, but was roughly shoved again. "Ah!" I cried, falling sideways. My hand caught the brunt of my fall, and pain exploded up my arm instantly. "Ah!" I gasped, falling onto my side, cradling my hand. Squinting down, I noted that my perfectly manicured nails were scuffed, one of them broken and barely hanging on. "My nails!" I gasped, suddenly indignant. "What the hell?" Out of nowhere, anger rose up, pushing away the worst of my fear. I started to lunge toward the man. Slam. I cried out when I was pinned to the ground, his heavy body like an anvil in the center of my back. My throbbing hand pounded on the ground beside me as I struggled to get up. Strands of hair rubbed over my cheek and neck, making me pause.
Don't push me, the man growled. I'm giving you this one chance. Take it and go, or die right here.
I sucked in a breath. I'll go.
Don't come back. Trust no one.
But I... snap. I screamed in agony, and he cursed, standing up off my body. The pain was actually blinding for a moment. At first, I thought he'd stabbed me after all. But as I writhed, I realized all he'd done was rip the fingernail off my hand. Blood dripped down my finger, spreading across my palm. Scrambling up, I staggered away, feeling his presence but too afraid to turn back. Cradling my hand, I lunged toward the other end of the tunnel, toward the light, toward people who could help me. Hair brushed my neck again. Panicked, I reached up, grabbing a handful of air. I reached again. It was gone. I stopped dead in my tracks. Forgetting my painful digit, I felt all around. My hair! I gasped. What did you do to my hair?
Proof, came the voice from the darkness.
Proof? I repeated, my voice like a ghost.
You no longer exist, Ivory White.
He knows my name.
That knowledge brought on a whole new level of panic.
This wasn't just a mugging. This wasn't just some weird random act of violence. He really did come here for my life. He was letting me go. Why? I asked, my voice oddly calm. Why are you letting me go? It was dangerous, but I had to ask.
Consider it a debt I owed your father.
Daddy, I whispered again.
But if I ever see you again, you won't walk away.
Gasping, I spun. The newly choppy, uneven strands of my hair flew out around me as I moved. He was gone. Light suddenly filled the tunnel, reaching toward my sneakers and filling the park with brightness once more. Shaken, confused, and radiating with pain, I limped out of the tunnel, stepping into the sun. I felt my eyes squint and blink as if I hadn't seen daylight in years rather than moments. Up ahead, someone jogged down the path, and I raised my arms to signal for help. Nearby, a branch snapped, acting as a sharp warning. Alarmed, I folded in on myself. The sensation of being watched wrapped around me like wild vines reaching up from the ground to hold me in place. Shuddering, I whirled and saw no one. But I knew he was still there, watching, waiting. If I made a mistake, he would slay me. At the very edge of my vision, a man concealed by all black slithered behind some trees. Trust no one. Frightened and confused, with his words echoing in the back of my scattered mind, I fled. 2. Ivory. So many people are going to get fired for this, I promised myself, as I rushed down yet another dark, unknown street. The sun had long since set, the moon once again taking over the sky. I was still out here, and the more time that passed, the more confused I became. Cold seeped through the clothes I wore, clothes that were so inappropriate for what I was doing. Were there even clothes appropriate for running for your life? I snorted softly. Of course there were. There was an outfit for every occasion. A sudden sound from behind me caused me to shriek and whirl. Black hair whipped around, slapping me in the cheek, making me whimper. Earlier, I'd caught a glimpse of myself in the reflection of a building. It was not good. Not good at all. All my glorious locks were destroyed, hacked and uneven, torn roughly from my head by a blade not meant at all for hair. Tears sprang to my eyes, and I dashed them away. Heart pounding and teeth chattering, I took in the area around me, expecting to see the hunter appear. There wasn't much to see, though, because it was dark, and none of the streetlights seemed to work here. "What the hell do I pay taxes for?" I muttered, still scanning the area around me, but finding nothing. Seeing nothing didn't make me feel better. In fact, it only made my anxiety grow. Just because I couldn't see a creeper creeping didn't mean he wasn't there. I was being followed, watched, hunted. I might not see it, but I could feel it. A bitter wind kicked up from the side, pushing all my hair into my face and tangling the now short strands like unruly vines. I nearly tripped over my untied shoelace as I hustled farther down the sidewalk, but I didn't stop to fix the issue. You didn't bother turning on the alarm when the house was already on fire. Tugging my hand into my chest a little farther, I adjusted the makeshift bandage I had wrapped around my bloody hand. My nail-less finger still ached and stung, but the bleeding had stopped a while ago, probably because the sock I was using as a bandage had clotted up, dried, and was now stuck to the torn flesh. It seemed nearly impossible that this was happening right now. I had never in all my 23 years experienced anything even close to this. Attacked, nearly murdered, hair chopped off, fingernail ripped away, threatened, forced to use my sock, my freaking sock, as a bandage. I had no money, no cell, no identification, and my feet had blisters from running around the city all day. So many times I almost gave up and called someone to come get me. All I would have to do was snap my fingers and it would be done. But I didn't. I was too scared. Confused. I needed to think. How could I think when I was stumbling around, lost in the dark, without any safety at all? At the end of the block, lights illuminated the sidewalk, and music spilled out from a building. Even though the music was terrible, it was still a welcome sound. It meant I wasn't alone. It meant maybe there was a safe haven within reach. I was in a part of the city I'd never even known existed. Everything was foreign here, as if I'd fled to another country instead of to the other side of the place where I'd always lived. I always knew there was a difference from one end of town to the other, but this? I could barely process it all. Something shifted in the alley I rushed past, making me squeal and run a little faster. Again, I almost tripped and fell, but this time I caught myself on the side of the building I'd been trying to reach. The already loud music grew louder when the door to the place shoved open and a few people stumbled out. They were laughing and unkempt. When they turned to glance at me, my body froze. I felt as if a spotlight had been shone on me, and any minute they would yell, "Ivory White, is that you?" That didn't happen. Instead, the people turned back to their laughter and good times and went in the opposite direction. Still, the uncomfortable feeling of being seen sent me reeling. Trust no one. Reaching up, lifting the hood on my jacket, I tucked it around me, concealing my badly chopped hair and tired, pale face. Since the sun had gone down, I hadn't bothered with the hood. My black hair blended in with the night anyway. But if I was going inside, this hood would offer the only protection I had right now. Pushing off the brick wall, I really wished I had some hand sanitizer. I moved past the long row of wide windows lined on the inside with colorful string lights that probably stayed up year-round. It was a bar, and it was packed. The perfect place to hide. Without a second thought, I slipped inside, glancing behind me because it was a compulsive urge I couldn't deny. My nose wrinkled at the putrid odor of beer and sweat as I tucked my injured, sock-covered hand into my pocket and pushed on, weaving through the people crowding around tables and standing in places they probably weren't even supposed to stand. A long bar ran along the back wall, and I headed in that direction. I could borrow their phone. No, I couldn't. I didn't know who to call, who to trust. Suddenly, I was overwhelmed by this predicament. This had never happened to me before. I'd never not known what to do. It was so confusing, my head nearly swam with despair. The song changed over to something even louder and more horrible than the last. Swaying on my feet, I reached out to steady myself. A hand closed over my shoulder, and I jolted. "Get your hand off of me!" My voice was cool and steady, the complete opposite of how I actually felt. "You first." Personally affronted, I glanced down to where a very large and dirty hand cupped my shoulder. My eyes followed the hand to the wrist and trailed up the arm, which was covered in plaid. It was not an attractive plaid. My eyes spoke when my voice did not. "What did you just say to me?" A set of bottom-heavy lips tilted up in one corner, and as they moved, they pulled along a 5 o'clock shadowed jawline with it. This unshaven, plaid-wearing person who was manhandling me didn't speak either. Instead, his very dark eyes pointedly looked down at his shoulder. I gasped and nearly fell over when I jerked away from him. Oh my God, I was touching him. The hand that had been clasped around my shoulder curled around my waist, its presence the only reason I didn't fall completely. His touch was warm and felt so wide at the small of my back. The heat from his palm seeped through the thin fabric of my top, and the skin at my waist tingled. "Let go," I snapped, straightening away. "What part of don't touch me do you not understand?" A dark, fluffy brow arched. "You touched me first." His eyes were incredibly dark. Not deep brown, onyx. Like a night sky without stars. Still, though, the sky in his eyes glittered. Right now, they glittered with humor. Was he laughing at me? Snapping up to my full height, I delivered a disdainful look. I nearly slipped on this filthy floor, and you got in the way of me reaching for the counter. Sweeping his gaze down to the floor, he stared as if trying to see the filth I pointed out. "Looks to me like you nearly tripped on your own shoelaces." His eyes flicked back to my face. The entrance to the bar opened, a cold wind blew in, and the bell I hadn't even noticed before rang, signaling someone's arrival. Forgetting about the man trying to argue with me, I spun to see who had come in. If it was the man who was after me, would I even know him if I saw him? A couple smiled and waved to another couple already seated at a nearby table. Sagging in relief, I nearly fell over again. "Whoa!" That same warm hand caught me around the waist again. "I said don't touch me," I hissed. I expected him to remove his hands immediately. He didn't. "Stop falling over and I wouldn't have to." I gasped as he directed me to a nearby bar stool. Once I was seated, he pulled his hand away, plopping down on the seat adjacent to mine.
"Can I buy you a drink?"
"I didn't come here to drink."
"Why else would you come to a bar?"
I ignored him. It was a blissful 2 seconds until two intrusive fingers curled around the edge of my hood and tugged slightly. Jolting away, I knocked into the person sitting on the other side of me, but I didn't apologize. How could I? I was too busy defending myself against this plaid-wearing pirate. Did I mention he totally looked like a pirate? Dark and smooth, with eyes that held secrets. "Stop that," I scolded, smacking his hand away.
"Why are you wearing that?" he asked, as though he didn't even notice how much I wanted him to get away from me. Leaning back in, he said, "Are you hiding?"
I stiffened, and my injured hand curled into a tight fist in my pocket.
"Are you meeting someone?"
This time, it was me who peeled back the edge of the hood, so he could feel the full weight of my sidelong glance. He held up his hands in surrender. The bell over the door jingled again, and I disregarded him completely. A couple of men walked in, one of them in a dark coat, and the hairs on my arms lifted.
forcing my outward appearance to remain unruffled and calm. From beneath the hood, I watched him covertly, while my insides pretty much cartwheeled around inside me. My fingers were shaking so much I tucked them under the backs of my thighs, sitting on them to keep them still. The pressure made my injured fingertips sting with renewed pain, but I didn't pull back. I embraced the pain to remind myself I had to be on the lookout. The men joined a table across the room, and then the shady-looking one's eyes glanced in my direction. Stiffening, I spun on the stool, putting my back to him as I slinked deeper into the hood. Staring at the rows of liquor lining the wall, I also noted the neon signs all over the place. On all the walls, there was wild, colorful paint without any kind of order or design. It reminded me of something. Something I couldn't quite place. It was hard to think right now. One of the signs was on the Fritz, and it was buzzing and blinking like it was waiting for the perfect moment to go out. I wished it would. The bright strobing was making me dizzy. A brown bottle plunked down in front of me, and I blinked.
"Since you aren't meeting anyone else, you can have a drink with me,"
the persistent pirate declared. I gestured to the bottle. "This is your idea of a drink?"
"You want something else?"
The bartender moved past, and I called out, "Excuse me, can I please have a bottle of Perrier?"
"Perry what?"
the man asked, glowering at me. "Perrier," I pronounced. "Sparkling water?" I said, as if it were obvious.
"I don't serve water at my bar."
"That's bad customer service," I informed him. "You should always have what a customer might request." Both his hands slapped onto the bar top, making me jump. As he leaned closer, I got a hearty look at his Asian features and hair that hadn't been combed for probably a week. Shame. He might have been good-looking if he didn't appear to be constipated and in need of moisturizer.
"You haven't bought anything, so you aren't a customer."
"Well, I tried to buy some water," I reminded him.
"No one buys water at the Rotten Apple."
"Ew," I pursed my lips. "With a name like that, I'm surprised anyone buys anything at all." A growl vibrated the back of the bartender's throat, and he leaned even closer. Normally, I wouldn't have budged an inch. Men didn't scare me. No one did. Until now. Until earlier today. "Do not show your fear," a voice inside me insisted. Instead of shifting back, I held still and lifted my chin, meeting his challenging gaze.
"Back off, E,"
the guy beside me said, shoving the bartender back to his side of the bar.
"Water,"
E barked, offended.
"Fancy water."
"I'm dehydrated," I said, realizing I hadn't had anything to eat or drink all day. No wonder I was dizzy.
"Just get her a water, huh?"
the man beside me cajoled. He had a nice voice, and I couldn't help but look at him. He saw me looking and smiled. There was a dimple in his cheek.
"That's just his personality."
"They have medicines for that," I informed. A glass of water was roughly slammed down in front of me. The liquid splashed over the top, splattering the bar top and discarded peanut shells littering the area. The glass had a smudge on the side. There was no ice. I was pretty sure he'd just gotten that out of the tap. And by out of the tap, I mean from the spigot in the sink under the bar. My stomach heaved.
"Earth!"
someone yelled from down the bar. The bartender gave me a look he probably thought would scare me. I smiled sweetly. When he was gone, I glanced around the room again, focusing on the door.
"Everything okay?"
My eyes went back to the man beside me. "Fine."
"I haven't seen you in here before."
"Nor will you ever again."
"Guess I wouldn't want to go back to the place where I was stood up either," he quipped, tilting a bottle to his lips.
I gasped. "I've never been stood up in all my life."
"First time's the worst."
I gasped again, I was not stood up.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?